Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. Stand by now for the Worldview. That's right, it is the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back to the fastest streaming show online, depending on your internet service provider. This is the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And I'm often told by people in real life as they come up to me, they say, Doug, you know, my favorite part of your show is when your extremely attractive audio engineer laughs at your jokes. That's their favorite part. Lots of people have said that. In fact, almost every person has said that. But, and, I didn't mean to say but, I meant and. I will get her to laugh at a joke at some point in the show today. But today's show will be very serious. For obvious reasons, with the situation as it is. Here in America, across the country, especially in Dallas, Texas, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Minnesota, the situation, the civil unrest, the violence, the bloodshed, the anger, the social tension. So it's a serious time for serious people, and serious people are paying attention. If you're listening to this show, you're at least serious enough to be paying attention to what's going on. And while I do appreciate it, I'm not so sure it will help. Not to be pessimistic, but I'm somewhat pessimistic. So I'm going to open today's broadcast with a Bible verse. This is from Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, or as Donald Trump would call it, to Thessalonians. And this is happens to be from the second chapter. Paul tells us, via inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God sends them strong delusion, so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So the manipulators of this current episode of bloodshed, violence, and social tension, those manipulators are, in my opinion, strong delusion, especially for the young people. And now when the Holy Spirit says that God sends them strong delusion, do you think God has to sprinkle down delusion dust? Or put it in the fluoride in the water? Or in the contrails of the airplanes flying overhead? No. Just as God hardened Pharaoh's heart, just as God sent a vexing spirit to torment King Saul after Saul had rebelled and turned against God, a similar thing with the strong delusion. You see, Pharaoh and Saul, they hated the truth. And so merely in remaining true and refusing to compromise and encourage their rebellion, so God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and so God sent a vexing spirit upon Saul. Let God be true and every man a liar. God simply stands fast in the truth, and in doing so, in a manner of speaking, he sends strong delusion. Those who hate the truth and are in rebellion against God, it's as though God sends them strong delusion. And that's what's happening. I mean, the obvious bad actors over these past several years, actually, the Black Lives Matter crowd, the agitators, the manipulators, the liars, the murderers, the Black Lives Matter movement, they chant, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. And then the ones that we would think of as the good guys, they say, no, all lives matter. All lives matter. You've heard it, right? You've heard myriad people stand up and say, we must declare that all lives matter. And when they do, they stand up, they say, all lives matter. Whether it's a sheriff or a mayor or a cop or a businessman or a nurse or a housewife or a governor or a president, I find myself pausing and asking, do any of them really have the right to say that? Do any of us really have the right to say that in America, all lives matter? Because America declared some time ago that certain lives do not matter. In fact, the most innocent and defenseless lives do not matter. The killing of the innocent in our midst, right in our neighborhoods, the slaughter of upwards of 70 million innocent children. You know, America's greatest sin, I think, is that she has caused her justice officials to enforce the murder of the innocent and also to protect those murderers by force of arms. That's her greatest sin. Yes, much worse than slavery. Much worse than slavery. And you and I are alive, living right through it. So speaking of the president, I don't think the words all lives matter have crossed Barry's lips, at least in a standalone manner. He simply has not uttered that. And I suppose you could say at least he's honest enough in that sense to tell us exactly how he feels. In fact, he spoke from Poland regarding the slaughter of the police officers in Dallas, Texas. Barry opined that, quote, when people say black lives matter, it doesn't mean that blue lives don't matter. But right now, the data shows that black folks are more vulnerable to these kinds of incidents. There is a particular burden that is being placed on a group of our fellow citizens. Unquote. Barry Ho from Poland. And in a sense, I agree with Mr. Ho. Black folks, he says, are more vulnerable to these kinds of incidents. And there is a particular burden that's being placed on a group of our fellow citizens, Mr. President. Young, ignorant, mostly illiterate black kids from mostly broken homes have been manipulated by seasoned liars, manipulators, agitators, like the leadership of Black Lives Matter, which we're going to get to in a minute. We're going to get to the leadership of Black Lives Matter in Dallas, Texas, in just a little bit. But these young black kids have been lied to and manipulated by Black Lives Matter and other political agitators. And no doubt the leadership of Black Lives Matter, in fact, no doubt it includes the executive branch of the United States government. Sympathetic, at least, directly involved, perhaps. Well, these vulnerable youth, this is these people who are more vulnerable to these kind of incidents, Mr. President, these vulnerable youth are being told that thugs resisting arrest are to be lionized and canonized and practically worshipped, and that the authorities and the police and the law itself is their enemy. And some of these kids will grow up to kill cops. And some of the people agitated by not just the rhetoric, but the actions of Black Lives Matter and the agitators moving the levers that agitate. Well, at least one of them has already slaughtered 5 cops in Dallas. And if I'm not mistaken, there's at least another half dozen who've been ambushed and killed across the country since the hands up, don't shoot false narrative was foisted upon these ignorant children. And even when the facts come out and refute it, they insist that the false narrative can continue. So I think we should all be concerned that young, illiterate, godless, fatherless people are being encouraged and miseducated, in fact, to lie about police shootings in order to intentionally stoke civil unrest. And as I said, even after the facts come out and refute the hands up, don't shoot, or the whole idea that policemen simply shoot unarmed black men for no good reason, even when the facts come out to totally refute that, which they will in these cases too, in Baton Rouge and in Minnesota, when the facts come out that refute the false narrative, the narrative continues. And it's almost a mental disorder at this point. In fact, I think it's similar to child killing. You say, Doug, how could this have anything to do with child killing? It's always abortion, abortion, abortion with you. Everything has to do with abortion. But folks, there was a false narrative that was established starting in the 1960s that an unborn baby in the womb wasn't actually a child. It was a mass of cells. It was a product of conception. It was a lump of tissue. It was a potential human life. Well, the facts, although they refuted them before, even more so, the facts, medical science, and technology refute that false narrative indisputably to this day. Yet the narrative continues. And folks, if you lie to yourself long enough, you will lose your mind. America is losing her mind because she has chosen to love a lie and to believe a lie instead of turning to the truth to so be saved. And so we go again to Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power, false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God sends them strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Worldview. Welcome back. We're going to talk about some facts that have come out since the slaughter in Dallas that I think we all have to admit has changed everything. I was having a discussion with a fellow at church this morning, and I said, I can't believe that in these other cities today, yesterday, Saturday, today, that the Black Lives Matter are being allowed to have rallies in which police are sitting ducks, standing out there protecting the parade route. And he said, well, you can't take away people's freedom of assembly. I said, oh, yes. No, it hasn't been taken away. They have lost it. They have lost it. And it must be taken away. Until things calm down and cooler heads prevail, Black Lives Matter shouldn't be allowed to march anywhere. But instead, the police stand there and they're mocked and laughed at, cursed at, spit on, had bottles thrown at them and rebar and chunks of concrete, and the police have to stand there and take it, all the time wondering if there might be a sniper overhead. And the mealy-mouthed mayors and governors of the cities and the states of this country are cowardly, bowing and scraping before these terrorists. Unbelievable. Philando Castile was a gangster and an armed robbery suspect. That's why he was shot to death in his car. He was shot to death in his car because he went for a gun. So when you hear the woman, the gangster chick, I'll be very nice about it. When you hear the gangster chick screaming her alleged boyfriend as he bleeds out to death in the car, and she calmly tells us how the police told him to get his license and registration, and then when he reached for it, that's when the cop shot him four times. So if we may not know all the facts of what happened before and during that shooting, but the one thing we know that did not happen was what she just said. It's ludicrous on its face. And the facts will bear this out. But let's just go to what we know right now. She says they were stopped for a broken taillight. But if you listen to the police radio communication, which I found at theconservativetreehouse.com, we have verified that the license plate mentioned by police in the recording says Conservative Treehouse matches the plate of the car that Castile was driving. The location officers gave also corresponds to the location of the traffic stop, which happens to be very close by a convenience store that was robbed at gunpoint a few days earlier. The local police force had seen the videotape of the robbery that morning as they went out on patrol. You remember Hill Street Blues, Let's Roll? Well, what the cops saw that morning before the chief said let's roll was video of an armed robbery at a convenience store in which a man who looks an awful lot like Philando Castile was pointing a gun at the store owner and robbing him. If you listen to the audio, an officer on the recording says, I'm going to stop a car. I'm going to check IDs. I have reason to pull it over. The two occupants look like people who were involved in a robbery. The driver looks like one of our suspects. So Philando Castile, who, if you watch CNN or your local news, the most wonderful boy on the planet, works in a school cafeteria, loves everyone, loves children, loves ponies and rainbows. He's just an all-around wonderful person. He was a suspect in an armed robbery. He had a gun, and he went for the gun, and that's why the cops shot him. So the false narrative stops right here. If you're thinking that Philando, what's his name? Philando Castile was a wonderful human being, you're deluding yourself. If you think the cops shot him because he was going for his license and his registration, you're delusional. You're willfully ignorant. You want to believe a lie. Hey, and one more thing. If you feel somewhere in your dark little heart good about the fact that those police officers were slaughtered in Dallas, and there's a lot of people who do. There's a lot of people who've appeared on a lot of talk shows over the past 72 hours who cannot condemn the fact that these police were brutally slaughtered in the streets like that. They will not condemn it. Not only that, you can sense that they are enjoying it, that they are pleased somewhere in their black little heart. And if you are one of those people, that's why you are going straight to hell. That's why God created hell. Because he knew that people like you would delude themselves to the point that they would kill other people. And if he let you into heaven, you would turn heaven into hell. So that's why you will not be in there. That's why you're going to hell. If you feel good about the fact the cops got shot, that's why you're going to hell. Alton Sterling. Alton Sterling was not an innocent man. Number one, he has a rap sheet as long as my arm. But he resisted arrest. He kept on fighting with the police officers. We know he had a gun. He went for the gun, and he was shot and killed. He had already been tased, and he continued to fight. So he was not just an innocent man walking down the street, walking while black. That's not what happened. The false narrative ends right here. And in my opinion, well, the guy's a child molester and a registered sex offender. He impregnated a 14-year-old when he was 20. Not an innocent man. And not shot for walking while black. He's shot because he's a thug with a gun who went for his gun when police had their guns drawn on him, which is a very big mistake. All you youngsters out there, if you have a gun and there's a policeman with a gun pointed at you, put your hands up and say, don't shoot. It works every time. I've actually been in that situation. And I put my hands up and I said, don't shoot. Now, I happened to be white at the time. I happened to be walking while white at the time. Anyway, the cops did not shoot me. They did throw me on the ground quite in a very physically aggressive manner. And they frisked me. And anyway, I walked away. I can assure you that had I been a black man and I put my hands up and I said, don't shoot, they wouldn't have shot me. Just like they wouldn't have shot either one of these guys if they had not actively engaged in resistance that put the officers in genuine, legitimate fear for their lives or the lives and safety of civilians in the immediate area. That's why these men were killed, because they were rebellious criminal men who care so little for human life that their own lives didn't matter that much. And the gangster chick who live-streamed her boyfriend bleeding out, she was obviously more concerned about advancing the Black Lives Matter narrative than she was about the life of the man bleeding out in the car next to her. One of the coldest, most indifferent few moments I've ever witnessed of one human being interacting with another. I've never seen anything like that. How could you be that calm? I can't even comprehend it. Now, let's talk about Black Lives Matter in Dallas, Texas. The leader of Black Lives Matter, the lead organizer of that particular protest in Dallas, Texas, where the sniper or snipers opened fire on the police, has made all kinds of comments on social media over the years. His name is the Right Reverend Jeff Hood. H-O-O-D, calls himself a doctor. I don't think he's a medical doctor. Dr. Jeff Hood, the leading organizer of that particular protest last week when the cops were murdered, said that of that particular march, he tweeted that he wanted to, quote, create a space for anger and rage, unquote. He wanted to create a space for anger and rage. He created a space right in front of a parking garage where a sniper or snipers lie in wait. I heard a radio talk show host ask a very interesting question. How did the sniper know where the march was going to go? Yeah. There was no published record. There was no published route. But somehow the sniper ended up right at the end of it. Just happened to be in the right place at the right time for a guy who said he wanted to kill white people, specifically white cops. He just happened to be in the parking garage as Dr. Jeff Hood led the peaceful protest. By the way, this is annoying me. Why is it that everyone has to call the Black Lives Rally marches peaceful and then they turn violent? Well, there was a mostly peaceful protest until the gunfire, until the violence, the bottles were thrown, until the Molotov cocktails started to be thrown. It was a peaceful rally. So every Black Lives Matter protest that ends in violence, must we? Are we obligated to insist that it was a peaceful rally right up until the violence? Please, people. Are we living in Eurasia in 1984? Are we coming right off the pages of a novel here? Are we not allowed to just speak in plain language? All right. The Right Reverend, the lead organizer of the Dallas protest, Dr. Jeff Hood. Let me give you a taste of what he preaches at his church. He calls himself a minister. He says in a posting, "Just this past week, I felt the hands again. One by one, the children of God at the church at the table in Fort Worth stopped to affirm and celebrate my ministry. In the midst of the reverence of it all, Jesus showed up. One of my dear friends shouted out, 'Keep blowing stuff up, baby.' 'I will,' says the Right Reverend Jeff Hood. 'Amen,' he says." The Right Reverend Dr. Jeff Hood has also written a number of books. The first title that caught my attention, The Queer, An Interaction with the Gospel of John. Okay, let that one settle in for a moment. Also from the body of work of Dr. Hood, The Queering of an American Evangelical, and another title, The Sociopathic Jesus. Jeff Hood calls himself a Southerner, a queer, and a Christian. That is the leader of the march in Dallas, Texas, that led to the ambush of at least 13 people, five of whom have died. All law enforcement officers. It was an ambush, yes. And the sniper just happened to be in a parking garage overlooking the end of the march route. And as far as I know, although Dr. Hood has been allowed to organize other marches since then, and he's been allowed to have his Black Lives Matter agitators in the streets, as far as I know, no one in the Dallas Police Department or the mayor's office or the governor's office have condescended to interview Mr. Hood and find out if he has any relationship with the sniper or snipers, which I would want to know. I would want to know that. And I certainly would not allow Black Lives Matter to march through the streets of Dallas after what just happened. Call me a radical and tell me that I want to rob you of your civil rights, but I'm sorry. We've had people ambushed and murdered in the streets. Don't talk to me about your right to peacefully assemble, okay? Because I'm not taking that from you. You gave that up when the sniping took place. Once the sniping starts, the freedom to peacefully assemble may be infringed. And I would infringe it were I the mayor of Dallas or the governor of Texas. But no, our political leaders have been taught that when the false narrative is big enough, even people who know the truth and know what to do and have their wits about them must also bow to the lie. I'm Doug McBurney, and this is the Weekly Worldview. I want to thank my extremely attractive audio engineer for helping me to calm down and bring my already elevated blood pressure down a notch. I'm angry. I know, I'm supposed to be in mourning, and I'm supposed to light a candle in the dark and let a balloon go, and join a vigil, but I'm angry. Let's go now to the NAACP, who they may have trotted out a flunky to condemn the sniper attack on the police. I didn't see that, but they very well may have. But the president of the NAACP, Cornell William Brooks, is calling for new policies. He says that we must establish a national standard for excessive use of force. A national standard, he said, and federal laws that address police accountability and community trust. So he wants laws to help with trust. And what Mr. Brooks does not understand is that with trust, you don't need a law. If there were trust, we would not need the law. There is no trust, especially from the community of young black men, although to call it a community is somewhat racist in my opinion. Because every black man, every white man, every brown man is a man unto himself, answerable to God and to his fellow man. But there are a lot of young black men who have lost trust because they've been abandoned by their fathers. And they've been lied to. They've been miseducated. They've been manipulated and agitated, and they have no trust. And the police, especially now, when they go out into the streets, do you think they're trusting of the community? Do you think they're more trusting of the community this week than they were last? They are not. But to call for another law in order to establish trust shows that Cornell William Brooks is not wise. He is a fool. He is not to be listened to. He should be dismissed with extreme derision because he does not understand the nature of the situation. The NAACP should spend more time addressing the problem in the black family because that's the root of the problem. The problem is not the police. Problem is in the hearts and the souls of men who abandon their families. I'm not even going to say black men because there are just as many white men who do it. There are just as many white kids who have no trust, who don't know how to love, who have been abandoned and abused and manipulated and lied to and agitated. Now let's go to Peter Singer of the New America Foundation. I didn't have time to do research to see if this is the same Peter Singer. I think this is a different Peter Singer because I think the abortionist Peter Singer, and by the way, I use the term abortionist as someone who promotes abortion, not just people who perform it. It's the same reason I use the term homosexualist. A homosexualist promotes homosexuality. An abortionist promotes abortion. A socialist promotes the theft of people's money so that he can redistribute it to other people while taking a handsome cut for himself. Anyway, I think this is a different, this is Peter W. Singer of the New American Foundation. He says that the killing of the suspect in the fatal shooting of five police officers is the first time anyone is aware of that a robot was used lethally by police. And the New America Foundation is apparently somewhat concerned about that. I had a friend, a Facebook friend, not a real friend, just a Facebook friend who posted, actually is a pretty witty post. He said, see, it doesn't always have to be a good guy with a gun. Sometimes it's a robot with a bomb. And I chuckled. And I replied to his post and I said, that's the best use of a robot I've heard of all day. And then he liked my comment. And this is a leftist who we typically disagree on just about everything. But I think even the people who had in their hearts some predisposition favorable to the Black Lives Matter movement, and there are a lot of white people who are just full of guilt and ignorance and stupidity and foolishness, and so they think Black Lives Matter is a legitimate organization. They think they should be allowed to march and lie to everybody for whatever reason. I don't know why. I can't comprehend it myself. But even those people, that they were shocked by this. This is now, we realize that now we risk losing the police. I mean, do you think there are any police this week who are contemplating early retirement? I'll bet you there are a lot. Do you think there are any policemen's wives who are asking their husbands to please think about another career? I'll bet you there are a lot. And when we lose the police, do you know who wins? The agitators, the criminals, the thugs and the gangsters who have perpetrated this entire lie, then they win. We end up huddling in our homes for fear of our lives, and they run wild in the streets. Let's see. Oh, this is interesting. So the robot was used. Troops in Iraq, apparently, sometimes use robots, surveillance robots, to blow up insurgents, which I think is awesome. I think it's great. Now, I do find it somewhat disturbing that our police are having to use military tactics in our own cities now. And now, I think they're justified in doing so, but it's just a terrifying proposition. That's all. It's very scary that this is where we've come. Now, quickly, we want to talk about live streaming for a moment. James O'Keefe was a promising young journalist who exposed racism at Planned Parenthood. He exposed all kinds of wickedness and lies and evil at Planned Parenthood when he did undercover videos that just showed the callous nature of the people who work at Planned Parenthood and how they would kill a baby based on race. They would kill a baby based on just about anything you wanted. Just come in and have the cash in hand. But James O'Keefe has degenerated into just another idiot child. He wrote a column at his Project Veritas page. He said, we are witnessing new technologies which are transforming the way we perceive reality around us. He said, video taken by a courageous woman in Minnesota, raw video has thoroughly shaken the foundations of policing. So Mr. O'Keefe, a once promising journalist, buys into this foolishness. Maybe he's changed his mind by now. I hope so. He says, live video has been reported to be an unregulated, intimate, extraordinarily powerful new frontier with no limitations. It can, he says, and should be used to clean up Washington. And then he goes on to say that we should have live streaming all the time on all of our federal agents. And all of the governor, the mayor, the police chief, they should all be wearing a body camera, and it should be streaming what they do live. And I agree with that. In fact, my buddy Mike in Las Vegas told me about this idea 2 years ago. He said every one of these people who are in a position of trust, they should be wearing a body camera and live streaming because we can't trust them anymore. It's becoming harder and harder to trust one another. And folks, when you can't trust the police and the mayor and the governor, you become suspicious of your neighbor and civilization breaks down. And it's very bad. James O'Keefe says the medium of the hidden camera video is going to change the world. Well, that's all well and good, Mr. O'Keefe. Thank you for pointing out the obvious. But to call this woman in Minnesota courageous, you're just an idiot child. Just get out of here with that, Mr. O'Keefe. Why don't you do something of value with your skills, your impressive skills, by the way. His undercover work has been fabulous in the past, but I haven't seen anything recently from him that has been all that impressive. Mr. O'Keefe decided he would go for the money with the big-time Republicans. Instead of continuing to work on behalf of the innocent and defenseless children who are slaughtered, Mr. O'Keefe had no interest in that. Anyway, headline of the week right now from the dailywire.com. Cops shoot white guy in Fresno. Nobody pays attention. That was the actual headline. Here's what happened. Dylan Noble, a 19-year-old white punk, was driving or walking around with a rifle, and someone called the police and reported that Dylan Noble was walking around with a rifle. So they approached him. He jumped in his truck and led the police on a half-mile chase. He then entered a gas station parking lot, exited the vehicle, keeping his hands hidden. Police say it appeared he made a conscious effort to conceal one hand behind his back and then in his waistband. He exited the truck. He walked away from the officers. The officers were giving him orders to halt, to stop, put your hands up. At some point, Dylan Noble muttered that he hated his effing life, reversed direction, and walked back toward the police, prompting them to shoot him dead. So here is, I told you people, this is not just a problem in the black community with young, disillusioned punks. This 19-year-old suicidal child's parents have hired lawyers for a prospective lawsuit against the police there in Fresno. Anyway, I just wanted to make sure that got out there because, as the headline said, cops shoot white guy in Fresno. Nobody pays attention. Well, I'm paying attention, and I am somebody. Thank you very much, Daily Wire. I will link to your website, and I will increase your traffic. Now, in appreciation of my extremely attractive audio engineer and her efforts to lower my blood pressure, I want to report that researchers from Queen Mary University of London say that goats are as loving and clever as dogs, and they aim to prove that goats are even more clever than previously thought and interact with people in a similar way to pets. Now, you have to wonder why Matt Drudge would link to this story unless he's listening to this show. If he's not listening to this show, why would he link to this story? I've never known Matt Drudge to have any particular interest in goats. I don't know that he has any goats on his property, but perhaps he does. I'm going to entertain myself with the idea that Matt happens to be a listener, and he wanted me to talk about the fact that researchers say that goats gaze at humans in the same way as dogs do when asking for a treat that is out of reach. And dogs show similarities with animals bred to become pets or working animals, such as dogs or horses. The team has also demonstrated that goats can work out how to break into a sealed box using levers, a task used to gauge intelligence in apes. So a really smart ape can figure out how to open a sealed box using levers. Well, so can the goats, and in fact, the goats can even remember the skill 4 years later without any prompting. How about that? Hey, maybe you're having problems with the cops. Maybe you don't trust the mayor. Maybe you're mad at the government. But one thing I can tell you, you can always trust your goat.
I don't know what to put.
We'll be right back.
And we're back. It is the Weekly Worldview. I am your host, Doug McBurney, joined in studio, as always, by my extremely attractive audio engineer. And we're not just going to talk about Dallas or goats. Although we could. We sit around and we talk about goats for hours on end sometimes. There's a daily report on what the goats did, how they behaved, how they interacted with the chickens. We haven't had a goat step on a chicken yet, by the way. And if you want to get that joke, you're going to have to go back. I definitely mentioned that on this show. So only the true diehard listeners will get that joke. So if you get that joke, you listen to this show too much. All right. So the Daily Mail in London is reporting that researchers say that there are only 6 plots that cover every movie and every book ever written or made. 6 basic story plots. That's right. That you want to hear them? This is from the MIT Review. Okay, MIT. That's a fairly prestigious institution. They say the team analyzed the emotional polarity of how the emotional valence changes in plots, and they said basically there are only 6 plots. There's the fall, rise, fall, like Oedipus Rex. There's the rise and then a fall, such as stories from Hans Andersen. There's the fall and then a rise, like The Magic of Oz. There's the steady fall, like Romeo and Juliet. The steady rise, like a rags-to-riches story. Then there is the rise, fall, rise, like Cinderella. They said that's it. There are no other plots. All you people who think you're creative, you're operating within this same, yeah. There are 6 core emotional arcs that can be identified in every story ever told. The most popular are those that follow the rise, fall, or the rise, the rise, fall, or the fall, rise, fall arcs. Yeah, for whatever that's worth. It's my opinion that all 6 of these appear in the Bible, probably all within the book of Genesis, but I could be wrong. You might have to go. You've got Adam and Eve, Abraham, Saul, Solomon, David, Jesus. These stories. See, this is why God wrote it in a book, and he told us stories, because he wants to relate to us. He doesn't want to just issue his law and tell us what we must do. He wants to tell us the story of what he's done and who he is so that we can relate to him. And so the origin of these 6 core emotional arcs are all explored in the Bible. And if you want to get it, forget Oedipus Rex, forget Shakespeare. They are all copying the Bible. And so if you want to go to the source of it all, read the Bible. Read the book of Ruth or the Song of Songs. Either one of those. Put Shakespeare to shame. Make him embarrassed. Yeah. All right. Now, speaking of embarrassment, Hugh Hefner has penned an essay in his Dirty magazine declaring victory in the sexual revolution. Breitbart reports here that he has declared, victory in the decades-long struggle since the sexual revolution began in the 60s. Actually, the so-called sexual revolution started in the 50s, and it was actually started by Hugh Hefner. So if anyone has the right to gloat in victory, it is Hugh Hefner. He started it in the late 50s when he started publishing pictures of naked women, and he was not arrested. That was a huge mistake. That should have never been allowed to happen, and Hefner could have declared victory that day. But it wouldn't have been as complete and utter destruction of Hugh Hefner's enemies as has occurred now. Yes, Hefner's essay declaring victory appeared in what Playboy magazine builds as its freedom issue. By the way, they stopped printing pictures of naked women in Playboy because it's passé. They can't compete with the internet. So now they're trying to compete with Esquire and Vogue. The main interview in the Freedom issue features an author, Ta-Nehisi Coates, who is a leading voice in the Black Lives Matter movement. Just by chance, this was already in the can before the ambush in Dallas. Hugh Hefner declares victory in the sexual revolution and interviews, gives a stage to Ta-Nehisi Coates, a voice in the Black Lives Matter movement. Hefner addresses issues like birth control, homosexuality, divorce, sex outside of marriage, pornography. He says, we have already won those battles and we will win them again. These are the final skirmishes of a retreating army of self-appointed moral authorities who have been defeated again and again for the past 5 decades. Mr. Hefner, I cannot argue with a single point that you just made. And I just want to say, Hugh, I hope you enjoy your victory. Since you are about to meet Jesus, please read him this essay first thing when you get there. First thing I want you to do, Hef, is whip out this and declare victory. I just hope I'm there to see that.
Mr. Hefner. He's gonna go soon, man.
Perhaps the Lord will hold Mr. Hefner's judgment until we're all there. That would be nice. Hold that one in abeyance because a lot of people are going to want to watch that. Hugh Hefner is probably responsible for the destruction of more marriages than any other man in history, and it is the destruction of marriage that has led to the disillusioned, suicidal, ignorant, illiterate youth that participate in the Black Lives Matter riots and participated in the ambush of those police. I lay that at the feet of Hugh Hefner. And Mr. Hefner, if that's what you consider victory, you can have it. I, myself, will stand on the side of the moral authorities. We're not self-appointed moral authorities, by the way, Mr. Hefner. If you've ever read the Bible, it's obvious that all the people who were counted on to uphold the morality of God were not able to do it. We didn't write those rules, Mr. Hefner. If we were to write the moral rules, we would write something like you did with your dirty magazine, because we're fallen people like you, Mr. Hefner. The rules were written for us, not by us, Mr. Hefner. And your victory is fleeting. Let's go to the Cub Scouts to put an exclamation point behind Mr. Hefner's declaration. Hooters is sponsoring a Cub Scout camp in Colorado, and some hapless parents are outraged. Yes, Hooters not only sponsored a Frontier District day camp, but had waitresses on hand to welcome the Cub Scouts to their first day. And the waitresses were wearing their traditional Hooters shirts and tight shorts for all the little Cub Scouts. Some parents felt that the sponsorship sent the wrong message. Yes. One hapless mother, Marcia, said, "It's just the philosophies of the two organizations are polar opposite, and I don't think they should be together." She's talking about the Boy Scouts, who just let the homos into the tents, Mom. What do you think? What do you think's going on? So my advice to parents, by the way, and you can take this for what it's worth, don't let your kids join any organizations or do any sports or any social events. That's all. That's my advice to you. If you do it, you risk contaminating your children with the filth of the world. And please, try to not contaminate your children with the filth of the world. They're going to have a hard enough time when they go out on their own. My other piece of advice is don't put your children in a position to where they want to move out of your house before they get married. I lay awake at night, hoping and praying. I pray to God that he will give me the wisdom to create an environment in my home so that my daughters do not want to leave until they find a man who can take care of them. Oh, the feminists are freaking out right now. They're just flipping out. Oh, there's no feminist listening. Okay. Well, maybe the NSA turns over some copies of the show to the feminists. Let's see. The Boy Scouts have released a statement apologizing because nobody wanted to actually stand up and apologize. So they just didn't, they released a statement. They apologized that the waitresses were dressed like strippers. We're really sorry about that. But they said that, yeah, they say the volunteers mistakenly wore the wrong attire. Attire?
They mistakenly?
Yeah. Okay. They did not apologize for the fact that a borderline a whorehouse sponsors the Boy Scouts. They're fine with all that. How far have we fallen, America? Listen to this. Over 200 former Penn State football players are demanding that the large bronze statue of Joe Paterno be returned to the campus. The board and administration have been waiting for the appropriate time, and now apparently enough time has passed. You folks may not remember, Penn State removed the statue of Joe Paterno after his former assistant coach, Jerry Sandusky, was convicted of more than 40 child sex abuse charges. Sandusky's now in prison. He's been moved, in fact, to restrictive prison housing to avoid the risk of fellow prisoners killing him due to the nature of his crimes. So some people have not lost their minds, and they're in prison there in Pennsylvania. They want to kill Jerry Sandusky. These are the same people that are left. Anyway, Paterno. Paterno, let's see here. They removed the statue. Well, they fired Paterno. Do you people even remember this? It wasn't that long ago. Do they have? I can't. I'm thinking it was around 2011. They fired Paterno because evidence was clear that Paterno ignored the charges against Sandusky. He ignored the fact that he knew Sandusky was molesting these boys, and he didn't say anything about it. And that should be a black stain on a man's name for all of eternity. I'm sorry. You don't get your statue back. Anyway, these 200 former players have all signed a petition. And they say our program, our football program at Penn State, has always been one of integrity, honesty, and respect. You know, the boys who got raped accepted. Can we just get past that? So there were some boys raped in the shower. Other than that, it's always been integrity, honesty, and respect. All right. That's pretty sad. From the war file, Bradley Manning was rushed to the hospital last week after trying to kill himself. So isn't this interesting? The military lifts the ban on trannies in the military. I go on the air and I say trannies are inherently mentally unstable, as if he listened to the show the next day, Bradley Manning tries to kill himself. Which, by the way, attempted suicide is a sign of mental instability. Thank you very much. Yes, I know. Bradley Manning is in prison for 35 years because he gave state secrets to our enemies. He should have been executed. He was born Bradley Manning, but after he was sentenced, he said he wanted to be a girl since he was a child, and he demanded to be called Chelsea, which the newspaper, the Independent, who reporting the story, they call him Chelsea, and they call him her throughout the article. We don't do that. That's not how we roll here at the Weekly Worldview. No. X chromosome, XY chromosome, that's it. It's binary, and we're not going to bow before all you mentally deranged freaks. Let's see. Japan. Let's go to Japan. I have a particular interest in Japan. I used to live there. My extremely attractive audio engineer still has family that dwells there. Japan's population crested around 2010 with 128 million, and since has lost nearly 1 million residents. Now the country has begun, listen to this, the LA Times author, this is pretty well written. Now Japan has begun a white-knuckle ride in which it will shed about one-third of its population, 40 million people, by 2060. Experts predict that in 30 years, about 40% of Japan's population will be 65 or older. If the United States experienced a similar population contraction, it would be like losing every single inhabitant of California, New York, Texas, and Florida. Unbelievable. And apparently politicians in Japan are only now seem to be sobering up to the epidemic metamorphosis at hand. Police and firefighters are grappling with the safety hazards of a growing number of vacant buildings. Transportation authorities are discussing which roads and bus lines worth maintaining and those they can no longer justify. Small businesses and farmers are having trouble finding successors to take over their enterprises, and each year, Japan is shuttering about 500 schools because there just aren't any more children. Now, they don't allow immigrants into Japan, so there's no worry about an influx of foreigners. They don't allow immigration, that's all. The bigger issue now, listen to this, is wildlife. The population has become so sparse in some areas of Japan that wild bears and wild pigs and deer are roaming the streets in towns that used to be full of people. It's unbelievable what's happening in Japan. It's very sad. You got to wonder what happened. They were, I guess you could call Japan the first nation-building operation of the United States of America. And it seemed to be working out for a while. Japan seemed to be doing okay. But America's first nation-building opportunity, I think, will ultimately, in the broad arc of history, be declared a failure. Because Japan will do one of two things. It will just fade away and disappear, or it will devolve into bloodshed, violence, and catastrophe. One of those two things is bound to happen. You think that's what's going to happen? That's sad. Yeah, countries typically don't just peacefully ebb away. All right, so we're almost out of time. I have to report on the big Ark encounter, Noah's Ark. I saw the pictures. It's very impressive. Ken Ham's Noah's Ark encounter is open, and the atheists showed up and protested en masse, signaling the success of the opening. Ken Ham can take some solace in the fact that the atheist showed up to complain that he was opening, and he opened the gates to Bill Nye, the so-called science guy, who impresses third graders with lies about evolution and the Big Bang. Apparently, after their debate, Ken Ham invited Bill Nye to come out to the Ark when it opened, and Bill Nye was there. And Ken Ham, by the way, who is a very fine creation speaker and thinker, he said, though our visit with Mr. Nye did get tense due to our differences in worldviews, it was an amicable visit. We have two different worldviews and two different interpretations of the same evidence because of our different starting points. I was able, said Mr. Ham, to personally share the gospel with Mr. Nye very clearly. I asked him before a crowd of people, including many young people, if I could pray with him, and I was able to pray with him there. Thanks for stopping by and visiting the Ark, Ken Ham. That's super. Folks, I hate Bill Nye, and I want to let you know, and I want to let Ken Ham know that it's okay to hate Bill Nye. It's okay to hate Barry Ho. It's okay to hate Hillary Clinton. It's okay to hate Bernie. It's okay to hate Black Lives Matter. It's okay to hate the wicked. Have you read the Psalms? I've been reading the Psalms with my daughters. There's as much hate in the Psalms as there is love. And God mentions his enemies easily as much, if not more, than he mentions his friends in the Psalms. So let's get rid of this idea that we have to always be lovey and squishy all the time and pray that Bill Nye would, I don't know what he prayed for. It doesn't say. He says he prayed for him. He probably prayed for him to get saved, and that's fine. I want to give you people my prayer for Bill Nye. Lord, I pray that Bill Nye be removed from the iconic position that he has attained, and that God, that you would cause him to experience great suffering and destroy him utterly from the face of the earth. Amen. That's my prayer for Bill Nye. Can I pray at another time when I am in a different mood that Bill Nye would stop rebelling against God and lying and deceiving children, and that he would turn to the living God for salvation? I'll pray that for him sometime, perhaps. Maybe if I met him in person, I might like him a little more. But that's my prayer for Bill Nye, and I feel no guilt about it. So don't you can send me an email if you think I'm being unchristlike in condemning a man like Bill Nye. But keep in mind, folks, that it's the Jesus of the New Testament who, in the end, kills all of his enemies. And he doesn't do that out of only Christian love. No. This is the Weekly Worldview. I'm Doug McBurney. Thanks for joining us. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com, at American Right to Life, and of course my other brother Daryl, who makes it all happen. Here in the Weekly Worldview Studio, should the Lord tarry, we'll return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.